I love wisdom. I love wisdom. I love finding wise people and listening to them and just taking it in. You know, but the thing about wisdom is that it is often unexpected. It's often shocking. It's not always the thing that you would anticipate hearing. It's a little bit outside of the box sometimes, but yet when you hear it, you realize, you know what, that is deep, and that is good, and that is wise and true. You don't always hear what you want to hear from the wise person, but you always hear what you need to hear. So I want to begin our morning with a quote from a wise person. Debatably the wisest person apart from Christ to walk the face of the earth, Solomon, who says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He says, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart." That's shocking, right? That's unexpected. That it's better to go to a funeral than a wedding, if you put it in those terms. Not many of us would choose that. Not many of us would want to go to a funeral over a wedding. And yet, in the benefits of a memorial service is that you are faced with the truth that one day it'll be you or me in that coffin. And that there's a profound lesson for those of us who take this to heart. Let me put it in terms of holidays, what Solomon's saying. Memorial Day is better than the 4th of July. Because Memorial Day has a profound lesson to us if we listen to it. It speaks to those who have given their lives for our freedom. Moses said a similar thing in Psalm 90. When he said, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." How do I number my days aright? How do I consider my life, the number of my days, and how does that give me a heart of wisdom? King David elaborates on this a little bit out of Psalm 39 when he says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." So where is the profound wisdom in being reminded of our mortality? Well, I see the depths of wisdom as I watch people who have come face to face with death, inches of their lives, and who have survived. I think of people like Dan Clawson with his heart, or Doug Wynn with what he experienced when he was close to death, or Kathy Veneta, people that have come just right there and realized, you know what, this is a reality. I almost lost my life. And you know what? Those type of people, they live differently. They love differently than those of us who are young or those of us who have grown attached to life. They live the truth that we are a breath. And we are gone. And that what we do during that breath is what really counts. If you've been following our church's reading plan through the Gospels, you'll know that tomorrow is going to be Luke chapter 8. And in that chapter, Jesus tells a parable that has us reflect on the condition of our hearts. It's a parable that has to do with how we live our days and how responsive we are to the Word. Something as we consider our life that I thought would be appropriate as we honor those who have given their life for our freedoms. So if you'd like to follow along, you can find a Bible, if you don't have one with you, in the chair in front of you. And on page 731, we begin in Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants, they withered because there was no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up, and it choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." Now you imagine Jesus teaching this parable. Of course, we know the rest of it because we've likely read this before, but that's all the people got. Right there, that was the parable. He's out in the countryside teaching, and you have this farmer scattering seed. You have seed that falls on different places, and different things happen. And somewhere in this, there's a spiritual truth that his hearers would likely want to hear, understand, and talk about. Well, finally, the disciples approach Jesus because they didn't quite understand. They didn't get what he was talking about. So in verse 9, his disciples ask him what this parable meant. If you turn to Matthew's account of the sower, the question they ask there is, "Jesus, why do you speak in parables?" So what does this mean? Why do you speak in parables? Well, we go on reading verse 10 with Jesus' response. He says, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Now you have to understand this statement from Jesus. It's not a statement of desire in that he doesn't want his hearers to hear or understand. It's a statement that speaks to the reality of people's hearts, the reality of the condition within them, and that affects their ability to receive the truth, which is consequently what this whole parable is about. And in this parable, Jesus describes four types of soil, which represents the four conditions of people's hearts. And as we examine the four different soils, I'm going to ask two personal questions this morning. The first of which is, what type of soil am I? Very personal, it's not looking around at somebody else. It's asking, what type of soil am I? What is the condition of my heart? You'll find this question also on your outline, which is in the bulletin for you to follow along and take notes with if you want to retrieve it at this time. Well, verse 11, Jesus begins to describe and explain the parable to his disciples. Verse 11 says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God." So you have this picture, there's a farmer. It's probably a likely scene in the first century. They did a lot of agriculture, a lot of people grew things. You'd have farmers out there, they would hand sow, they'd grab in to their bag of seeds, they'd toss the seeds around, and naturally, in a broad way, it would fall, the seed would fall different places because they don't, take the time to plant it in a specific spot. They're just scattering it. It goes out everywhere. And the seed represents the word of God. And then the four soils is about how receptive is a person to what they hear from the word of God. The first soil mentioned is the path soil. In verse 12, we see that following along. "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." So the path soil, you think about a path, hundreds of people walking over the path, right? The dirt gets packed down, it gets hard, and you can almost visualize what happens to the seed when it gets thrown on the path. Maybe it bounces a little bit because it's hard. There's, you know, nothing to grab it. And then people start trampling on it. They start walking on it, and the birds will come and eat it. The path soil, the seed doesn't really have a chance. There's nowhere that it can go in and root, and it's exposed to birds and to people being trampled on. This type of soil, if you're this type of person, it speaks to the hardness of heart. And many people are like this. A heart that has a hard time receiving the Word of God. When the Word of God is spoken, it's almost like it just bounces off. It doesn't have an effect because you can't hear. If this is you, this type of person would naturally think, well, it's probably not me, because they have a hard heart, because they're not open to receiving the Word. Proverbs offers a warning for this type of person. In verse 28, it says, "Blessed, in contrast, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble." So you see contrast. You see contrast between those who have a reverence for God, who the word is fear, or, you know, have that reverence where they receive the word and take it from God. He will be blessed. But yet, he who hardens his heart will fall into trouble, or he who hardens his heart will not prosper. You might consider also the verse out of 1 Peter that describes the enemy's approach to those with, well, to all of us, but 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So we have the enemy, we have the devil, who he's doing that with all of us, right? I mean, he's always trying to look for a way to devour us. Yet when your heart is hard, it becomes easy for the enemy to see that seed of the word and to take it from you so that it does not grow root. There is hope, however. If this morning you might be honest and you are the path soil and you would consider yourself to be that, the hope, there is hope there, because Jesus tells this parable to bring about change. He tells the parable so that people can respond to it. It's not words of condemnation, it's words of hope that people might change and receive the Word of God. God wants to till the path soil. God wants to take that dirt and turn it into dirt that can receive the Word of God and become soil. So that's the first soil that Jesus describes in this parable. The second soil is the rocky soil. We read in verse 13. "Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." Well, if it's clear to you that you're not the path soil, perhaps you might be the rocky soil. You don't have a hard heart. When the seed, when the Word of God hits your life, you receive it with joy. You're excited about it. All of a sudden, the Word of God produces growth in you. It shoots up right away. Everybody sees it. People around you are excited. And yet, there is a problem. The problem is, while it looks good up above the ground, underneath the ground, there's no roots. There's no depth to it. So when the summer comes, when the heat comes, when the sun starts beating down on the plant or your life, then, and the rain stops, I mean, springtime everything grows, right? Because there's rain and there's sun. But then when it gets hot, the plant that falls on the rocky soil withers and dies because it has no roots. What's the difference between a plant's roots being short or long. Well, when that heat comes, the roots that have depth can dig down into the ground and they can pull moisture out of the ground for a long ways, where those who don't have it, they wither. You know, when we bought our home, I realized that, as happens often when people build homes, it was built over fertile land, farmland, that they just took a blade and took all that topsoil off and sold it to someone else and built the house on what was underneath that, which in my case is solid rock. All right, so I get there, I'm buying the home, I'm excited about it, it's my first home. They rolled out a really nice, what do you call that? Sod, thank you. Yeah, they rolled out that sod, so it's green and lush, and here I am, just this unexpected, or you know, unassuming home buyer going, wow, what a pretty lawn. So I bought the home. Well, summer comes along, and what happens? My lawn dies. And I water and I water and I water, and it doesn't matter. The heat just kills the lawn because they just rolled out sod right on top of rocks. And the grass didn't have a shot, you know, because there's no soil underneath it that, yeah, it grows initially, but when the heat comes, the lawn dies. So what do? I have to bring in like 15 yards of dirt to start building up the soil, and it's been a process of building up the soil so that things can grow in my yard. So that's the rocky soil. The seed doesn't really have a shot because there's not soil where the roots can go down and grow deep. If you're the rocky soil, you're a person who receives the word with enthusiasm. You want to grow, but there's something in your heart that is preventing you from growing roots and going deep. It's rocks. And this is what Jesus profiles in the rocky soil. And we need all of us to get roots in order to survive. Notice it says when the testing comes, the sun is connected to testing and trials in our lives. And that happens to all of us. The testing will come into your life. The difference as to whether you survive or whether you wither is all about your roots and whether you're able to let the Word of God grow roots into your heart to stabilize you. The third soil spoken of is the thorny soil. This happens in verse 14. Jesus says, "The seed that falls among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." You may not be the path soil. You may not be the rocky soil. Chances are, you might be the thorny soil. It seems to me that the thorny soil is where most of the American church seems to live their life. The seeds, they fall into the soil. The thorny soil, the roots grow, right? It has roots. It's able to survive the heat. Yet the things, the worries, the deceitfulness of wealth, the pleasures of this life, are the things in your heart that begin to crowd out the Word of God. And they're the things that crowd out the plant so that it never matures. That's the result of falling in the thorny soil. It doesn't mature. And the plant is left just struggling to survive and not thrive. I want to be honest with you here as I consider my own life and look at the first three soils. If I'm prone to fall into one of the top three soils, I think this is the soil that I'm prone to fall into. If I'm left to my own nature and my own devices, that it's easy to let the worries of life crowd out the Word of God in my heart. It's easy to let the pleasures of life overtake my heart so that I'm not focused on the Word of God and the truth there. It's easy to not mature. You know, you think about planting a crop, a farmer planting a crop, and you do it on a land that already has plants there, right? I mean, you'd probably have to clear the ground of plants to plant your crop. And not all those plants, we might refer to them as weeds, the things that naturally grow there, not all of them are necessarily bad in themselves. I mean, you think about a lot of weeds have pretty flowers, right? I mean, a lot of just land that may be overgrown is beautiful. But yet, it doesn't produce a harvest or it doesn't produce a crop. I think that's the point here, is that pleasures, good things of life, they're not necessarily bad in themselves. Yet, if they run throughout your heart and if they overtake your heart, then you're never going to mature. You're never going to produce the harvest that God wants from you. Has this happened to you? Are you the thorny soil? Has the Word of God found a place in your life where it's there, it's rooted, but yet it's struggling to survive because of the worries or the anxieties or the other things in life that come in and crowd it out? The fourth type of soil Jesus refers to is the good soil. This happens in verse 15 when Jesus says, "But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." This is the good soil. It refers to a good heart, a noble person. Like it says, a person who hears the word. And they don't just hear it and forget it. They receive it and they retain it. They put it into practice and grow. They do so when it's easy and when it's hard. You know, the hot sun beats on everyone, whether you have roots or not. Yet, the good soil, they can grow roots. It's not battling just to survive from the worries of life, but the good heart receives God's word and has a heart, a place to grow and thrive. The weeds are kept out, and it produces a crop that is 100 times what was planted. This is what God wants for all of us. This is really the farmer's intent in sowing the seed, to throw the Word of God out there, to cast it out wide so that some might have a heart who hears and who wants to receive and allow the Word to grow in our hearts. But we control the condition of our heart. Just because you're at one soil right now doesn't mean you always have to stay that way. You control the condition of your heart. You can decide how you want to receive the word. And this gets to my second question. If the first question is, what type of soil am I? What is the conditions of my heart? The second question is, how do I cultivate good soil in my heart? How do I change? How do I keep my heart from getting hard? How do I keep the rocks out of my soil? How do I keep my heart free from weeds? The first solution I'd like to present is to start connecting faith and action. Now, we know from the scriptures that you cannot be saved through action, through good works, so that's not what I'm referring to, but there is a very tight connection to our faith that we have in Christ and the way we live and what we do, our actions. You know, if you look right past this passage, just keep going down to verse 21, Jesus makes the point when asked about his mother and brothers. He says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." That's right there in the same context. Jesus is trying to drive home his thoughts from the parable, saying, the one who hears my words and puts it into action, those are the ones who I consider my family, my mother and my brothers. Right before this parable, it's another, you see it all over the place, but in chapter 6, just a couple of chapters earlier, Luke gives his account of the Sermon on the Mount, similar to Matthew 5 through 7. And at the end of that message, in verse 46, Jesus drives home this point again. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who has dug down deep and laid the foundation on rocks. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Our true faith in Jesus as our Lord is expressed in our willingness to do what he asks. If you're wondering how can I begin to cultivate good soil in my life? How can I begin to change my heart from hard or from rocky or from thorny to a good soil that receives the word? Well, the beginning step is just to begin doing what God asks. When God says something, connect your faith and your action and live it. The second point is very similar. Let the word of God change your life. Just open up your heart so that when you begin hearing the Word of God spoken, when you read the Word of God, you automatically think, okay, there's something I need to do differently. There's something in me that needs to change because of hearing this. Just consider your own life for a minute. Just consider the amount of times you hear the Word of God. Each time, you have a choice whether you're going to change or whether you're not going to change. Sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail the test, right? All of us does it. But how often do you change when you hear the Word of God, and how often do you not? That's a good measurement for what type of soil you are. Because we all like to think we're the good soil, right? But let's evaluate ourselves. Let's just take, for example, last week's sermon. Pastor Steve preached out of 1 Corinthians 16. He drew out principles from God that related to our giving and our finances. His points were that it needs to be personal, drawn right out of Scripture, it needs to be regular, and it needs to be proportionate in your life. If in your life you don't measure up to one of those points, or you don't measure up to all three of those points, did it make a difference hearing the Word of God? Did you walk out of the message or that week thinking, wow, I'm not there. It's not proportionate, or it's not personal, or it's not regular. Did it make a difference? Or maybe you have that area together in your life, but it's something else that you hear on a weekly basis. Do you change? Do you let the Word of God change your life? This is what Jesus is talking about in this parable. He's trying to help people understand that they need to be receptive to the Word of God and to challenge them to do so, while also recognizing the reality that many people will not all receive the word in the same way. God wants to grow each of us into maturity. He wants to produce a harvest in our lives. Jesus' parable is given to encourage us to hear the word and to put it into action. Life passes so quickly. It's a breath, and it's gone. And what we do during that breath matters. What greater wisdom can we receive than the wisdom God has given us? Let us use our freedom in the remaining days of our lives to hear the word of God and to follow Christ and put it into action. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this parable because it has me considering my own life. It's not just about preaching the word this morning. It's about receiving the word in my own heart. Lord, I want to be a heart that receives the word and that changes and that keeps my heart free of weeds, free of worries, free of the love of the things that money can buy, free of just focusing on the pleasures of this life. Lord, because I want to grow a harvest for you, I want to live for you. And I know that every single one of us in this room, as we consider the soil of our heart, as we sample what our hearts are like, God, I pray that your word would lay root in us and begin to produce a crop, Lord, so that we're a people who are changed by you and changed by your word. Lord, we thank you for this weekend and the significance of it, and pray that our lives of freedom might live worthy of what we've been given. We pray this in your name.